Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game. Come on!
Good morning, and a happy, what is it, Wednesday? I always lose track.
I've lost track completely because this, like, Monday, Memorial Day was my first day off in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I had no idea what day it was. And then now that Monday was completely off the table, I thought yesterday was Monday. So now, yeah, I'm completely thrown off.
That's why there was a little bit of leeway in between the big voice guy and me actually talking, because I had to gather myself and remember what day it was. But welcome in on this Wednesday as... it's a Warrior Wednesday, a Wu-Tang Wednesday, whatever type of Wednesday you want it to be. Pap has actually put some headphones on because he will have a little traffic report as he was on hand on the Bay Bridge earlier this morning getting up here. And real quick, we're going to get to all the stuff surrounding the Warriors because Kevin Durant's traveling to Toronto. We'll get into that. Doc Rivers and Magic Johnson, Stephen A. Smith, Michael Wilbon, they were on ESPN and they had a little finals preview show and... Naturally, Magic Johnson and all this Rob Pelinka stuff that came out, it was probably must-watch TV, and I didn't watch, if I'm going to be 100% honest. I did see clips, but I didn't watch the entire thing.
Right. Anything on Twitter, just little clips here and there.
Just little clips here and there, but I wasn't going to watch the entire thing. But real quick, James Pappas was driving on the bridge on 80, and you have a little traffic update for us.
Yeah, on the Bay Bridge, I believe Anna said three lanes on the right are all shut down. It looked like a box truck ran into the back of a city bus, and it's all torn up, and the box truck is on its side. So if you're commuting into the city and you got to take the Bay Bridge, I would call work if you're going to be late because it's going to be a little bit.
Yeah, three right lanes are blocked by a crash involving an overturned big rig right now. So be careful out there, everybody, over by, I think it was like Treasure Island, correct?
Yes. Okay. So appreciate that, James. Thank you for that little traffic update. We just wanted to keep you informed because early in the morning we do get those every now and then, just a little... Early, you know, there'll be little crashes that may happen on the bridge that slow traffic down. And once there's one thing that happens on or near the bridge, traffic, you know, backs up. So be careful if you are heading up to San Francisco. But as we're going to pivot here, so wait, there's a story you literally just brought up. At
which one?
4:58.
I brought up like a whole bunch of them. So.
it was regarding Jeremy Lin.
Yes. Okay.
What happened with this?
So Jeremy Lin, who's on the Toronto Raptors, you know, we all know him here in the Bay Area. He went to Palo Alto. He went to Harvard. He's the one behind the whole Lin sanity, everything that went on with the Knicks and whatnot. Apparently, game two of the Eastern Conference Finals, he was getting onto a bus and he wasn't recognized by the security guard. So a guy, he said that the dude in the Milwaukee arena just screams at me like, where do you think you're going, before demanding to see his game pass. And then he finally had to explain to him what Lin sanity was. He's like, oh, yeah, I know who you are. Okay, go ahead. But they didn't recognize him. The poor guy is on the Raptors and couldn't get on the team bus because he wasn't recognized.
As a security guard, you got to be on top of that, though.
Got to know everybody's
face. I feel
face.
Like you at least got to, like, there's one player, he's on the Heat, Tyler Johnson. Now, if you look at Tyler Johnson and you're just looking at him and without a basketball uniform on, he doesn't look like he'd be a basketball player.
Right.
And then so he has a story about going into Miami, going into their arena, and the security guard had no idea who he was, and then he had to turn back and go tell someone, hey, I'm actually on the team. And you see that happen quite often. I think that also happened a little bit with him when he was in Golden State
really?
He started out. Because that's before the Jeremy Lin, when he was in Golden State, was the young, fresh Jeremy Lin. Because once Linsanity happened, then you got all the insane haircuts of Jeremy Lin. But before, this was just the innocent Jeremy Lin from Harvard when he was here. So I don't think the security guards recognized him when he first got to the team.
I mean, I just typed in Jeremy Lin haircuts, and you just see his picture. It's like, gosh, I forgot so many different ones over the years.
He's bold.
Yeah, he's bold with it. The Hornets with the big old, what do you call it, the mohawk? It's like a foot up in the air.
It's the Jeremy Lin version of, Will Smith's high top fade from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That's as much as he could do with it.
Did he have dreads in this one?
Yes. Was a point where he had dreadlocks. Yeah.
Hey, you do you, Jeremy.
Yeah. Well, I forgot he was on the Raptors.
I know. I did too.
There's a little bit of that. There's Patrick McCaw and Jeremy Lin. Revenge games for both of them.
Oh, sure. Revenge games. Yeah, I have a feeling that's going to be on the top of the list there. But I think Jeremy Lin will get a better reaction from the Oracle crowd than Patrick McCaw, though.
I hope Jeremy Lin actually gets some playing time, because that could be interesting. Just having him come on the court. He wasn't really that much of a contributor when he was here. Because he obviously went to the Knicks and then started going crazy and got all popular. But here he was just a backup who, I mean, fans, he was a rookie, and fans were, they were big on him because, of course, he went to Palo Alto High School and he was a Bay Area guy. And especially over in Fremont, where I'm from, he was a big deal there because there were a lot of people in my school who could relate to him and who felt like he was an inspiration.
That's pretty
so,
cool.
So he was a big deal when he was a rookie around my school, at least.
I mean, I interviewed him when he was a senior in high school because I used to work on a show called High School Sports Focus. I was a reporter for that show. That was my first TV job.
Uh-huh.
And did a whole little feature on him. He was one of the guys that we obviously honored with, his great basketball play, going to Harvard and just talking about his future. So he's a really cool guy. So I always wish him the best, too. And his stories are always interesting, like the one where he was sleeping on his friend's couch in New York. I remember this from a long time ago when he started with the Knicks. He didn't even have enough money that he would end up sleeping at his French couch.
Really?
That's it. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, from one point guard to another, as we're going to transition here to Steph Curry, because Doc Rivers did have some comments on this finals preview show that we talked about with Magic, Stephen A., Michael Wilbon. There's one more that I'm missing. But Doc Rivers was very complimentary on both sides, on the Raptors and the Warriors. But he had this to say about Steph Curry, and I'm just wondering if this is a sort of opinion that's gotten a little tired.
You know, the Warriors win for one reason. They have talent, number one. But they have cooperation.
Yeah.
And when you have cooperation with the players and the coach, and they buy in, like Curry, and this is the point people miss about Steph, and I don't think we give him enough credit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Unselfish.
We keep not talking about him being in the top four or five players, and he is.
Yes.
All right?
Easy.
But what he did has never really been done. The last year that they lost, that was to us, the ball was in Curry's hands all the time. The following year, Steve Kerr comes in and talks him into buying into a new system. He gave up the ball. What's the stat? He gave up the ball 55% less, and he won the MVP.
Yeah.
By giving the ball up less, more. So he didn't have the ball in his hands. Well, he learned his movement. That's cooperation. That team, when you watch them, they have bought in to who they are. Mm-hmm. They trust it.
Yep.
They trust their coach. They trust each other. And that hurts Clay in some ways because he doesn't have the ball as much. He doesn't get as many shots, but he is a great player, and he's one of the top 15 players in our league.
That the Steph Curry doesn't get enough credit, I just don't see that anymore. I think people are starting to give him credit now more than ever, especially seeing what he just did, because I feel like it's just I hear that opinion over and over again, Steph doesn't get enough credit, Steph's underappreciated, Steph's this, Steph's that. I haven't really seen anyone except for the talking heads who are just trying to get a reaction, who are saying, yeah, Steph's not that great. He's not even in the top echelon of players. Those are the only people I've heard that don't give him the credit are the ones that are just trying to get a reaction out of people. But for the most part, I think he's getting the credit that he deserves, especially after this last series against the Blazers. Steph Curry is looked at as unstoppable, I think, right now, especially among NBA fans. I think they give him the credit, especially now seeing what he just did. I think they're giving him just enough of the credit. Maybe I'm wrong on this one, but it just feels like I've heard that like for the past three seasons since he stopped winning the MVPs. Steph doesn't get enough credit. I don't know. I think they're giving him just the right amount of credit at this point.
Well, now we're starting to see him get credit because he wasn't getting credit before because, you know, he was sharing the ball, obviously, because look at when you look at this this lineup, you had five starting all-stars in this lineup. So obviously the ball's got to get moved around. There's not enough ball to go around for everybody to get all, you know, to have those phenomenal games, to have those great games, that those iconic games where he's making tons of points and all the stuff. Because a lot of times you're just going to read the box score. You don't see the entire overall game.
Right.
That's what a lot of people end up doing. And so you don't see what he does on the floor. You don't see how he facilitates the ball. You don't see how he's a leader amongst his team. We here in the Bay Area see it because we see it day in and day out. We know what this team does. We know what they're capable of. And we also know what this team was like before Kevin Durant. And what they were able to do before. Having Kevin Durant is a phenomenal piece that obviously makes this team unbeatable. But you also see that, again, that whole unselfish factor that Steph Curry is one of those players that's unselfish. He'll pass the ball more. He's not going to be the one that's like, only the ball, only give me the ball, only give me the ball. He'll pass it. But he's had to take the ball more because Kevin Durant hasn't been there in this Portland series in game six against the Rockets. So he's had to take more of that charge. He's had to take more of that, you know, I have to do this. I have to take charge a little bit more, even though he does still pass the ball and he still has a lot of great talent around him with, obviously, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green.
Right.
But at the same time, he's had to do it more. And so we're seeing him having to do that because he doesn't have somebody like a Kevin Durant there as well. And you almost forgot how good he is. That's the thing. And I think we didn't personally forget it, but everybody else forgot how good he is. That's where he had the whole idea of the Gamote, the greatest mirage of all time.
Right.
You know, you had Rob Parker talking about that. It's like, you know, he's still been here.
Yeah.
But he's just not a ball hawk. He's just making sure to say, I'm not going to be the only one on the team. He goes, I have a lot of talent around me, and I'm going to make sure to get them out there so we can get the win.
It's just if he's not getting the credit, then who on the Warriors is my question, I guess. Because when Doc Rivers is saying that, well, I'm thinking in my head, well, you know what? Draymond doesn't get enough credit for what he does just in an entire game. Klay might not get enough credit for the way he moves off the ball when he's on offense and draws defenders while on the defensive side of the ball, just going one-on-one on the perimeter. He might not get enough credit for that. It just feels like if Steph's not getting enough credit, doesn't feel like any of these players are getting enough credit then.
It's like a piece of the pie. Instead of one person having one giant piece of pie, they're all sharing the entire pie.
Right.
That's what it comes down to, is that they're all doing different things different nights and having big moments, and also just they're passing the ball. They're working with each other, and they may not have this, like, you know, a 60-point night.
Yeah.
But when you look at what each of them are doing and then add it all together, you're like, wow, they're doing pretty phenomenal things.
Yeah. It's just, there's so many just, this guy doesn't get enough credit. This guy doesn't get enough credit. I've been seeing a lot of articles, and from the Chilton Homebody text line here at 95795 from the 650, he thinks this is more locally. East Coast doesn't see many games with the late starts.
True.
Right. And I get that. But also, even the people that are up late, though, that are watching, because it's not like no one is up late watching it. There are people on the East Coast. And when I'm reading national reports just about Steph and how lethal he is and all that sort of stuff, it just seems like the whole Steph doesn't get enough credit, it's just kind of becoming tired to me. And from the 925, it's kind of interesting.
Okay.
I think Doc Rivers was making a play on Klay Thompson, showing how he didn't always want to get the ball like he should. Do we count this? I mean, Magic Johnson's no longer the whatever he was of the Lakers, president, whatever. But do you think Doc Rivers may have been tampering a little bit by saying Klay doesn't get the ball either? Hey, maybe we can come to the Clippers. We'll get you the ball.
I think he could be, but I think honestly,
no,
here's
not really
the thing. Here's the thing with Doc Rivers. He's seen firsthand what this Warrior team can do.
Right.
He's seen it right there in front of him. He plays them how many times a year right now? And plus, don't forget, his daughter is marrying Seth Curry.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's been spending a lot of time with this Curry family right now. So they're all kind of in this whole big basketball bubble at the moment. So he sees it and he sees how good this guy is,
yeah.
you know, off the court and on the court.
Yeah. And Doc, by all accounts, is a player's coach, if anything. So I think it's like he's just a generally pretty nice dude.
Yeah. He does seem like a nice guy. And he does, obviously, look what he's done with this Clipper team.
Yeah.
I mean, this team right now actually was very surprising this year. And I think they have a good future ahead of them. By the way, did you see that Adam Silver is looking at potentially moving the start times up in the West Coast to 6:30? So the NBA was looking at potentially doing that this next year so that way they can get more of the East Coast to actually watch the West Coast teams because you have, you know, LeBron's out of the East.
Yeah, yeah.
So you want to get more people to watch the West now because you have that kind of talent there.
It'll be interesting to see the reaction to this because I saw some – I forgot where I saw this. It was on – I think it was on USA Today or something, but they're saying that the ratings in Canada, they don't translate to the ratings in America. So the fact that we have Toronto playing in these finals, it could have an effect on TV ratings, which overall could have that effect of possibly moving the games earlier. I think that's a fact. And also, did you see that graph?
Yes, I did. Explain it to everybody.
If you haven't seen this graph, people, there is a graph online and it shows in red. It's kind of looks like a political graph when you're looking at Democrats versus Republicans. But you're seeing the Raptors versus the Warriors, and you're seeing how many states are going for the Raptors. They took like a Twitter survey, and there's only three states that are going for the Warriors.
Yeah, California, Nevada, and Hawaii.
Hawaii. Yeah.
That's it. It was really disappointing, actually. Yeah. Like, come on, America.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be rooting for Canada.
And everyone else is going for the Raptors. So it looks like the whole America versus Canada thing doesn't really play out.
My dad's from Montreal, and he's like, I would not root for Toronto. He's like, no. Any team from Toronto, he is dead fast again.
Well, it's not like that for the rest of the USA, but we went a little over the track here. Jeez,
I know.
Time moved quick in this segment. Woo. Okay, so coming up, we're going to get into more on the Warriors. Caron Butler was in on the station yesterday. He was with Damon. He had some comments, and also Eric Smith and Paul Jones, who are on the Raptors radio broadcast. They joined Papa and Bonte. We're going to get to that. And also Kevin Durant's making the trip to Toronto. What is the point? I wonder. Feel free to text the Chilton Autobody text line with your opinion on that. 957-955-888-957-9570. If you want to call the phone line, Matt and Sarah Fellows on hold. We'll get to him next. Stephen Langford, Anna Kakadaki's in on the pregame show on 957 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kakadakis.
The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with their product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. We got Matt and San Rafael on the line. We're going to get to him in a bit, but real quick, have you seen this guy on Jeopardy?
I haven't actually seen him. I've just heard about him through Twitter and everything. How much money is he up to right now?
He's now up to $2,195 or
$2 million.
$2 million.
I'm gonna say
$195,557, and he's done it in 28 days, which it's like it's legit, like Steph Curry in terms of the three-point totals, because you've seen, if you look at the list of all-time three-pointers, and you're seeing, you know, Ray Allen at the top, Steph's done this in way less games. It's exactly what this James Holzhauser guy is doing, or Holzhauer. I've been watching it these past eight days or so since we've had the days off, and, you know, I started watching him at the beginning, and he was annoying me because he had a creepy smile, but, this dude, I'm watching it yesterday. There's nothing you could do to stop him. I don't think anyone's going to stop him. This is the most he's the Yankees in the 1900s.
Oh, goodness.
He's officially up to that. Like, he's at that point. I don't think he's ever going to stop. And the dude who originally held his record, Ken Jennings, he's saying he's really excited for him, but he didn't expect him to do it in this fashion.
I remember when Ken was on. I do remember when Ken was the one that was steamrolling everybody else. But yeah, I gotta watch him tonight because tomorrow we got the NBA Finals starting tomorrow, so I'm gonna have to watch tonight because tomorrow I'm gonna be a little busy at that time.
It's
I mean, it's historic.
Yeah.
I can't.
You are dumbfounded by
it. I just had to. Yeah. I've watched him multiple times. It's so funny because the other contestants just don't stand a chance of even winning. And he just goes from the bottom. He doesn't go to the 200s, then the 400s. No. He starts out with the 2000s.
There's a strategy to that.
I saw that
guy Jennings did that too before. He would go for the big money and then go backwards and kind of work to the smaller ones. But
yeah,
I loved when I get those categories. I'm like, I know this. I got this. I'm going to crush it. I'm so good at Jeopardy. And then all of a sudden they go into something like art history of this specific era. It's like, I don't know.
He's a professional sports bettor, and the dude would get sports categories and just mow through those really quick, and then he goes through everything. It's insane. But I recommend tuning into Jeopardy if you haven't seen the historic run that this guy's on, because it really is something to behold. But as we transition over onto what Doc Rivers was saying about Steph Curry, saying Steph doesn't really get enough credit, we'll play the sound for you. But real quick, we'll go to Matt in San Rafael. He has an opinion on Doc's comments regarding Klay Thompson. Matt, what's going on?
Hey guys, real quick on the picking from the bottom up on the Jeopardy. I read something that said that there's a greater percentage of daily doubles in the 800 or at 1,000 or the 400 and 500, and that's why they go for those, so that they can control the daily doubles.
That
which is
makes sense.
Wild totally. That people do that kind of research.
thank you.
And then on Durant, I think the Dubs are bringing Durant because they want him to feel like he's part of the team. I think when you're not kind of traveling with the team, you feel sort of left out. I think they're hoping they're going to get him back, and that by bringing him, he's going to sort of feel more part of the team. The one thing they do not want is for him to sort of get separated emotionally or mentally from the team. But the thing I wanted to say on Rivers is I watched that clip. He actually talks a decent amount about Klay as well. At the very end, he says, you know, Klay hurts himself with the way he plays as well. He said he thinks Klay's one of the top 15 players in basketball. So he didn't talk about Draymond very much, if at all, but he did really sort of give Klay his due, which I am not a Clippers fan, and as a result of that, I'm not a Doc Rivers fan. But I had to really give respect to a guy who acknowledges and talks quite openly about how great these two guys are.
Yeah, especially a guy who just lost a playoff series to them two series ago. Thanks for the call, Matt. Really appreciate that. And from the 707 on the Jill Nobody text line, annoyed because he has a creepy smile. Can't get any more judgmental than that. Yeah, probably true. Probably
by the way,
true.
I just want to mention this because we heard that whole thing with Alex Trebek having pancreatic cancer. He made his big announcement and everything. Some good news, though. I just saw that doctors are very happy with the way he's responding to chemo. And Trebek told, I think it was USA Today, that it looks like doctors believe he is near remission.
Oh,
so they're excited for that.
Good for that.
I liked it. I want to share some of that good news. But anyway,
who doesn't love Alex Trebek? I mean, who doesn't?
I mean, you're kind of messed up if you don't like him.
Really, though.
I mean, he's one of the most pompous people when it comes to answering questions. Like, oh no, you're wrong, but you love him for that.
That's great.
He's just brilliant.
It's great.
And the Will Ferrell takes on him, even better on Saturday
Night
Live.
Even better, yeah, even better. So Kevin Durant is traveling with the team to Toronto, and what do you make of that? Because I guess it's just I mean, you could look at it as a sort of, hey, we're letting the Raptors know that we're not going to give up on him, even though he hasn't made as much progress as we've hoped. So we're going to bring him along for the trip. Are they going to, I mean, if they go down 0-1, are they going to put him in the second game? I mean, is there like a point to this? And feel free to text the Chilton Autobody text line here at 95795.
Obviously, it's just speculation whether or not he'll be able to be available for game 2. I don't know how he hasn't even practiced with the team, so I'm not sure if he'd actually be available. But I think I do like, what was it, Matt that just joined us?
Yeah.
That what he said about him being kind of part of the team. And if he were to stay here in California, then you have more of that talk of, oh, you know, this team, whether they're better without him. I think you have less of that if he's actually with the team, kind of being a part of it, trying to amp up the guys if they're down, just be a part of it. And he actually talked about recently how, I think it was this last weekend, he was saying how, you know, him not actually playing on the court, he's been able to kind of take more of a coaching role and kind of sit back and look at the game and talk to guys and see, okay, hey, let's do this, try this here. He's trying to take more of that role, and I think we're going to get more of that there as well for game 1 in Toronto.
Yeah, and you're seeing that these guys, when they took the days off, Quinn Cook is watching these games with Kevin Durant with the Raptors and the Bucks, and they're kind of scouting out how they're going to do it. But yeah, that's a good point, though. He could just be going there because there's been a lot of that chatter, even though, you know, all the free agency stuff and all the off season he could be leaving, it's kind of created this
sort of storyline that, hey, Kevin Durant's not even really a part of this team, whatever. It's like he's separated from them. He's not even like a teammate or something like that. And you've seen that from some people. And now, I mean, I get that's true. Partly because of it, it's just so he can actually be there to cheer on his teammates. And I mean, from the 650 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, it's not about feelings.
I'm not saying feelings, but it's also being a part of a team.
Yeah.
He is a teammate, and he is also scouting what's going on, and it's a lot easier to see it when you're on the court.
Right.
Versus watching at home is a little bit different. You don't get the feel of, you know, what your team's going through, what the other team kind of looking at, how they're reacting things. There's a lot of things we don't see on TV that's going on the court.
Yeah, and I guess, like, I mean, it's not like he's going to text Steph or text Clay and be like, hey, this is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. It makes much more sense if he's just staying there. And from the 408 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, what's the win-loss stat when Cousins and Curry start while KD sits? I know that the win-loss record now with the Curry in while KD sits is up to 30-1.
Yeah, something like that.
It's
somewhere around there.
To me, like, I get that stat, but it just, for me, it just seems so vague. I understand, like, it's such a big record, and you know, 31 games does not seem like that much of a small sample size, but I want to know what went into those 31 games and why they won those games. It's just, there's something to it, but they haven't lost yet, I mean, in the playoffs since KD's been out, but that's been a big talking point is that record, and for me, it seems very vague just to say, hey, yeah, they're 30-1 when KD's out and Curry's on the floor.
I also want to double check how many of those are playoff games versus regular season games, because we saw what happened this regular season, how there was the complacency issue, how guys weren't taking certain games seriously, or they just kind of were kind of on cruise control. So I think that's kind of a factor you have to kind of take into consideration.
We'll continue to get into this on the other side, and then from the 408 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. Believe me, KD's not playing this series. Even Bucher said it again yesterday, and he's been right on all his sources, even the four-week timetable. Can't take that away from him. And then from the 408, also taking KD is a decoy. Kerr playing mind games with Raps, making them prepare for them. So
that's a good one.
Could be doing that as well. Who knows? We'll see what happens. I mean, all we can do is speculate at this point. But, I mean, if he's traveling with the team, it's looked at as a good sign from the surface, but, you know, I mean, who really knows why he's actually traveling over there?
Maybe Toronto's just a fun town. Maybe he wants to go eat, go hang out.
Get a little poutine.
Yeah, that's all. That's what it is. He's traveling for the poutine.
All right, that's an unsafe word to say on the radio.
Exactly. I know, I kind of felt awkward there when I started saying it. Like, okay.
From the 510 on the Channel Nobody text line, it doesn't matter if the Dubs only played the Hawks and Kings. 31 games is a huge sample size. It is, and it's getting to that point, but man, it just seems so, there's so many details that go into reasons why there are wins, and it's just, this team, they only had 9 losses in one season.
I know.
There's...
But they didn't win that season.
They're a really good team. They're a very good team, and I could believe that they could go 30-1 without Kevin Durant anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just... I mean, even with, like, I don't know. It's an interesting stat that I'm still just want to, like, I'd really like to get more detail on. But we'll continue to discuss everything on the other side. Stephen Langford and a Kagarakis in the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagarakis.
Pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee, meet, and greet with our product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information. I just realized I turned my mic on, and then I cleared my throat, and then I went into the read. Did you hear that beforehand?
I didn't, but I realized I saw you laughing. I was just going to ask you why you were laughing. What's wrong with you?
I didn't really think about that. I tried to, you know, clear the throat, turn the mic on. Instead, I turned the mic on, then cleared the throat, which is bad radio etiquette by me. We're going to continue to preview Warriors-Raptors because, of course, Game 1 is tomorrow night. Doc Rivers talked about Steph Curry, Kawhi Leonard. Plus, we're getting an update from Eric Smith, who's on the Raptors radio broadcast. He gave us an update on OG and Anunoby. And that could be pretty big because he's actually a key role on their bench. So we'll see. And I had a tough time in botching that name, but you know what? I tried, gave it a shot.
You got it.
He is one of their key bench players, so in that second unit. So we'll see how that plays out. But real quick, there's a 30 for 30 trailer that came out last night. Joey Chestnut versus Kobayashi in the beef between them two in the hot dog eating contest.
I like
contest.
That. Beef between them?
Yeah. And then I think that, I mean, if there's one 30 for 30 we want made right now, it's from the hot dog eating contest.
Oh, yeah. We got to keep watching them eat those hot dogs, dip the buns in the water, and eat the, that is a skill of its own. I can't even fathom, in all honesty.
Do you ever watch that?
I mean, I usually just watch the highlights. I don't just sit and watch it live, but I usually watch the highlights and see how Joey Chestnut does because, you know, he is a Bay Area guy, and it's, you know, it's just still kind of fun to watch. But, man, he just won again another award. He just got another competitive eating award. He just won, let's see, the 9th annual World Pepperoni Roll Eating Championship in West Virginia. Originally, the previous world record in 2017 was 36 pepperoni rolls, but Chestnut ate 43 rolls in 10 minutes to take home the award. And apparently, he wasn't even full. He said that he could have eaten more. He said that they're fluffy. They're doughy. A lot of things are going on at one time. There's a little piece of pepperoni in there, a little cheese. It's unique and tasty, and he could have kept eating them.
43 in 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
That's gross.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, that dude's got a stomach that's just... I don't even want to know what's going on in that stomach.
If you were to enter a competitive eating competition, which one would you feel like you'd be like most confident in winning?
Ooh, most confident in winning?
Yeah, if you had to like pick one.
Cupcakes.
Cupcakes? Mm-hmm. If there was a cupcake eating championship,
you'd feel... I love... That's my weakness.
We'll hold you to that.
My weakness is cupcakes. You don't hold me to it because I probably won't be able to do it, but...
Is there like a Greek holiday where they do something like that? Like a Euro eating contest? Spanakopita eating contest?
I do love my spanakopita.
A Lucamades eating contest?
Ooh, that's dangerous. Lucamades are delicious. Those little donut holes? Yum. No, we do not have a holiday like that, but we just basically eat a lot whenever we get together. I cannot go to my grandmother's house. If I go there full, she'd be like, no, it's okay, honey. Have a little something. No, I just say, no, okay. Well, here's a little something. Give me a full on plate.
Of course.
And I can't say no.
Of course.
Can't say no to Yaya.
As we transition here from the Chill Nobody text line from the 510. Hey, you catch that ESPN Finals preview yesterday? You think Doc Rivers is giving all that praise to Steph because of their fam bam connections? Because it seems every sports outlet undervalues Steph's greatness. Well, luckily for you, 510, we have that very sound from the Finals preview. Shout out ESPN for the audio of Doc Rivers talking about Steph Curry.
You know, the Warriors win for one reason. They have talent, number one, but they have cooperation.
Yeah.
And when you have cooperation with the players and the coach, and they buy in, like Curry, and this is the point people miss about Steph, and I don't think we give him enough credit.
Mm-hmm. Unselfish.
We keep not talking about him being in the top four or five players, and he is.
Yes.
All right?
Easy.
But what he did is has never really been done. The last year that they lost, that was to us, the ball was in Curry's hands all the time. The following year, Steve Kerr comes in and talks him into buying into a new system. He gave up the ball. What's the stat? He gave up the ball 55% less, and he won the MVP.
Yeah.
By giving the ball up less, more. So he didn't have the ball in his hands. What he learned is movement. That's cooperation. That team, when you watch them, they have bought in to who they are. Mm-hmm. They trust it.
Yep.
They trust their coach. They trust each other. And that hurts Clay in some ways because he doesn't have the ball as much. He doesn't get as many shots. But he is a great player, and he's one of the top 15 players in our league.
When he's saying that hurts Clay, there are some people out there who are saying, could be tampering a little bit, Doc. You know that Clay's trying to get that money.
Get that money.
Especially when he's with the Clippers. I mean, I don't really necessarily see that, but the main thing that I'm taking away from that, then the 510 pointed this out about how every news outlet undervalues Steph's greatness. Do they? I'm not seeing that recently. I feel like it's just the word I used, because we played this at the beginning of the show, and the word that I used for this whole opinion is it's tired. I feel like I hear it just constantly throughout the season, especially after Steph has a few good games, and it's just constantly, he's not valued enough. He's underappreciated, he's underrated, whatever it is. But I'm just saying, like, what more does he need to do in his career? Like, will he ever be respected in the way people want him to be respected? Because he's back to back MVPs. He's changed the game in a way that no one really expected it to change, starting when he started shooting all these three-pointers, and then he shifted the NBA into these three-point shooting machines. Like, I mean, what else does he need to do to garner that respect from people if he's still undervalued, like the texter says and like Doc Rivers says?
I think he is respected to a point, but I think he'll get more respect when he's done, when you look back at what he did. And unfortunately, that's what it is, that everybody's kind of, you know, that whole prisoner of the moment. You always think the past is better than the present. So you always think how great the past is, and then, you know, nothing's better than the past. And then you look at it kind of in retrospect, and sometimes you're like, oh, you know, actually, they were pretty good. Look at what they did at this time span. And I think it's going to be one of those, when you look back, you'll see it. I think it's almost weird, because there's times where it's opposite, where you have either he is the greatest and nobody respects him, or he's not that great after all. Oh, he's overrated. I mean, it almost feels like there's no in between. It's one or the other with him.
There really isn't.
It's unfair.
Now that I'm like thinking about it, there's the only way he's really going to get that sort of respect that people like. I wonder what the level of respect people think he deserves, because it seems like that respect has to be on the highest level, like the absolute apex, like MJ like respect, right? But the only way he's going to reach that point right now is if he finds a way to win this series on his own. If KD and Cousins, for some reason, don't make it back to the finals, say they go on the road and, you know, beat the Raptors in the first two games, and it's all because of Steph, and they don't even bring KD or Cousins back, maybe at that point, that's when people will start giving him the respect that they feel like he deserves. But I'm just wondering at what point. Like, he's done so much in his career. If you just look down at every single accolade that he's had in the NBA, it's just, what else does he need to do to garner that respect? Or are we just putting that on too high of a level, I'm wondering?
Does he need that Finals MVP award? Is that what apparently he's needed? He's apparently the favorite to get the Finals MVP.
Yeah.
Is that what he needs? I think it's kind of unfair to say he needs that to get that respect, but I almost think that nationally, that may be what it is.
Are we gonna look back on this team and say that Steph was underappreciated his entire career? Is that what his legacy is gonna be, instead of a guy who is the greatest shooter that we've ever seen, who's been breaking records when he was halfway into his career, like so far within the first 5 years after he finally got healthy? It's like I just don't know what more he really needs to do to prove.
You know
himself.
What it is? I think it's the majority of the voices know what he's capable of and gives him the respect.
Right.
Unfortunately, there's the other voices, but those voices are louder, because those are the, you know, the talking heads that you talk about.
Hate
and
is
that's
easy.
What it comes down.
Hate is way easier to give off. That's why people just talk so much crap, especially about athletes, because it's very easy to talk crap about.
There's
someone.
Less of that, yeah. But it's louder.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me. And from the 510, stop talking about it. That's how you get rid of it. No, the problem is, when people, like, the reason that this is a whole story in the first place, the reason why guys like Doc Rivers think that he's doesn't get enough credit, is because there aren't people who are talking about him. And I think that's the main issue, is and as Warrior fans, everyone, we praise Steph. We praise Steph constantly. But one other takeaway I had from that is, if Steph's not going to get enough credit, who does get enough credit on the Warriors? It seems like any time, especially in this last series, Draymond doesn't get enough credit because of what he does defensively and how he pushes the ball after rebounding. Like, Klay doesn't get enough credit for what he does defensively one-on-one on the perimeter, while also being able to just go off screens and move and then draw defenses to wherever he is. Like, it just doesn't seem like, if Steph's not getting enough of the credit, it doesn't seem like anyone on the Warriors is getting enough credit, in my opinion.
I think it's the difference is that you don't have a team with one or two all-stars. You have a team that's filled with all-stars, and they are sharing the ball, and they're all doing different things at different nights. So it's not only one guy. If it's one guy, you can see what he can do, but you're not seeing the full capability, because there are times where, you know, Steph may go off, but then he doesn't play for a fourth quarter. Same thing with Klay Thompson. He can have a monster night, but then he'll be done. And instead of having them go out and say, you know what, go shoot 60 points in a night. Mm-hmm. You don't get that as much because they actually rest these guys and they're actually holding them out for the bigger prize, which is a championship.
Yeah. And from the 209 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, I think Steph is viewed as underappreciated because he doesn't boast about what he does. He gives the credit to his teammates. LeBron James says, I'm the best player in the world. LeBron James right now celebrating Taco Tuesday. You see that?
Was that the video with
he took
the Nipsey Hussle and everything?
No.
Or was that a different one?
It was a different one. It was last night. It was Taco Tuesday at the James household.
He's bored. He's not playing right now.
Lil Bronny is wilding out on Instagram right now. Are you seeing that?
I did see that.
This dude, they're making the rounds on social media.
You know what? You're right. And you know that he is trying to get attention to himself because he's not in the finals right now. And it's like, okay, what am I going to do? Well, you know what? I'm not out there. Let me put myself out there.
And well, one thing about LeBron James, though, even though he boasts about saying I'm the best player in the world, he has been the best player in the world.
He has been.
He's been a game changer, revolutionary, mm-hmm. once in a generation type player. And you know what? If the way that Steph can get appreciated at a level that people out here feels like he needs to get to, maybe he does need to start boasting about himself a little bit.
I don't want him to do that. I don't. Look, LeBron, go ahead and do it. That's fine. We know that you are the best player. You've been the best player in the world. But you know what? Steph, be you. Don't change who you are. I love that about him. And I think in due time, he will get the respect.
Well, Steph also does it in subtle ways, though. He doesn't say it straight up like, I'm the best shooter it's ever been, so I'm just going to, like, but he at least does say, like, even though when he has, like, a 1-for-11 night from the three-point mm-hmm. line, he's going to go in there at his press conference after the game, and he's going to say, I have full confidence in my shot. I'm going to keep on shooting and doing whatever it needs to do. Like, so in subtly, like, subtle ways, he's saying, like, yeah, I'm the best three-point shooter around. I'm going to keep shooting or whatever. So he does say it subtly, but he doesn't say it, like, you know, straightforward.
Well, the other thing is you have things like he has this camp that he has for, I think it's for, like, 3-star athletes instead of the 4- and 5-star athletes that are trying to get into college and beyond. But he has one called, I think it's called Underrated. Mm-hmm. And it's for kids that are underrated. And basically because that's what he's been all his life was, he was the underrated athlete. And so those are kind of the things that I think he kind of puts it out there subtly where it's like, okay, I'm underrated. He doesn't himself say it, but by having an organization, by having something called Underrated, he's implying it.
Right.
So that's kind of the subtle ways that he's kind of getting it across.
From the 408, too, they're bringing up a good point here. From the 408 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, none of them get the credit because KD came to the Dubs. They're all a bunch of haters. Jealous much. Do you think Kevin Durant coming to the Warriors has alleviated some of that respect that Steph should be getting?
There's also a lot of pressure he would have been getting if he wasn't performing.
Yeah.
So a little bit of that, too. So as much as, it takes away a bit of the credit, it also takes away a little bit of the pressure.
Yeah.
Because KD has also been under a lot of pressure on this Warriors team.
That's true. Like when you're a super team like they are, because let's use that term. I'm going to use that. The super team that they are right now, the dynasty, they're just going to get hate wherever they can. And,
of course.
And then maybe guys like – maybe Doc's right. Maybe he isn't valued enough. But I'm thinking, like, what more does he really need to do? And then from the 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, LeBron's not trying to get attention. He's been doing Taco Tuesday all year on his IG. I don't have Instagram anymore, so I haven't
you
really.
You don't?
I don't.
What happened there?
Oh, I had to get off that.
Too much?
Yeah, it was way too much. It was mainly personal reasons. For the most part, I saw some old friends from high school who I'd been keeping up with on social media, and then I saw them for the first time in, like, whatever, 6 years, and I felt like I already knew what they've been doing for these last 6 years, and they knew what I've been doing for these last 6 years, and the mystery was taken away from that, and I didn't like that too much.
Oh.
I was like,
never thought about that.
Yeah, I was like, damn. Like, I knew everything for at least anything good that's happened, and they've known anything good that's happened to me just because that's all we post on social media. So it's like, I don't want to know anything really. I shouldn't know this much
about
you.
A little mystery in your life.
You shouldn't know this much about me. So I was just
pick and choose. How to get off
there.
Pick and choose. Just pick and choose. You know what, though? I've noticed myself getting a little bit less on social as well.
Yeah.
Honestly. It's like, okay, I'll put stuff out there here and there.
Life's better with it.
Exactly.
From the 408 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, if they suffocate Steph, does Dre have a chance of MVP? Iggy did it. Dre on a roll and has recorded the most accolades from broadcasters during the playoffs. I think I if I'm going to choose a next man up for a guy who could win Finals MVP, now Steph is the favorite, but I think Draymond Green is that next guy up. I mean, you're seeing what he's been doing. I mean, it's the intangibles. It's, I mean, have you seen this story about Kevon Looney? He spoke to Ethan Strauss at the Athletic.
Fundamental piece.
Now, I'm gonna paraphrase here, but Kevon Looney was injured, and he was on crutches one day, and they went to practice. And he got there, I think, right at the start time. I think practice started at 9 o'clock that day. And he's on crutches, and Draymond is on the practice court going, "Hey, you're late." And then he's just like, "What? Like, I'm not even playing. I'm injured. Like, I'm on crutches here." It's like, "No, that's not how we do things around here. You're late." Even though, you know, and that kind of led Kevon Looney to get into practice early and kind of getting into the gym and working, and that showed him really what it's about. And those are the kind of intangibles that Draymond brings. Mm-hmm. But we're seeing this Blazers series showed exactly what Draymond does, because he was manhandling the Blazers, especially on the glass. I mean, when he was just going coast to coast after getting a defensive rebound, a tough defensive rebound, you're like, damn, this dude's just making a difference left and right on the court, especially on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, there's a reason why everybody calls Draymond the heart of this team. And those are the reasons why. And he is a complete leader. And that's why I think you have somebody like Joe Lacob who says, "I want to be a Warrior for life," because of the things that he does that you don't see always on the court, the things that you don't always see. And I think it's such an important part in making this Warrior team what it is.
And there's been a lot of sacrifice mm-hmm. on the team. And Caron Butler, he joined Damon, I want to say, yesterday, and he's a sideline reporter for TNT. He's been watching these playoffs, and he had this to say about the Warriors being sacrificial with their gameplay.
That's why the Golden State Warriors are so remarkable, because they have multiple guys that's able to step up in a major way. And that's why they're amazing to watch also, is because guys do less to accomplish more. Even with Clay's situation, I hate talking about money and players, but he's sacrificing so much. Clay is a perennial all-star anywhere else. He's an all-NBA guy. And all those guys, I feel, are. But they sacrifice so much to have this dynasty and to have this winning culture with the Warriors.
And I find it fascinating if Clay does stay, because if he does, again, he will be sacrificing whatever he may sacrifice, should he go to another team where he could be that number one guy. And that would be the legacy on the team, especially afterwards, looking back, it would be just the amount of sacrifice that they gave in order to get these championships, especially if they go on deep in the playoffs again, if they bring them back. I mean, there's so many little factors there, but it all starts on the court too, with Steph giving up the ball if Clay's open on the screen. When KD was on the floor, he tried kind of sacrificing his game a little bit. Then when he did, everyone got really mad because no one else was knocking down shots when he was just trying to facilitate. They looked at it as, "Hey, he's not trying." No, he was just trying to be like the team, and it just didn't work. It just didn't work out for it too well, and he got hated on for it. So, I mean, you can't say enough about the sacrifice that these players make, for sure.
They do make a lot of sacrifices. But let me ask you a question. We've said this a bunch of times. When was the last time a team went to 5 straight finals? The Celtics, right? Back in the 50s, 60s? 50,
like between whatever it was, 57, and it was like a 10-year span, I think.
So the fact that you're being compared to that type of team goes to show you what that sacrifice, what it pays for.
Yeah.
It pays for something like that. And it pays for things like rings. It pays for, you know, bringing home the Larry O'Brien and all this stuff that comes with it. The sacrifice, it's a great reward in the long run.
In the landscape of sport, especially nowadays, a lot of people feel that athletes are just all about themselves, and mm-hmm. They're putting themselves first, which, you know what, they should. But at the same time, like, you see what happens now when you actually do make that sacrifice and it pays off in the long run. I'm sure there's been players that have made that sort of sacrifice and it didn't work out for them. David West being one of them. He thought at first, when he was with the Spurs, like, that he took a large pay cut to play with them. He was hoping that they would possibly win another championship against the Warriors. But then he ended up coming over here and taking a pay cut here. And so it's I don't know. It's fascinating to me whenever they talk about that, especially when guys like Caron Butler, who've played in the NBA, talk about that.
And then you see what's going on with the Lakers organization, dysfunction going on there. It's like you see something good that's going on in one organization, then you see a complete opposite, just complete downward spiral. I don't even know what you even call it. There's not even a word that describes what's going on with that dysfunction there. And it's like, do you really want to be a part of that right now? Let them clean up that mess.
It's a he said.
Yeah.
There's no he said, she said. It's Magic said this or Rob said that.
And hanging out with Heath Ledger, apparently, even though.
No,
yeah.
What was that like?
The whole thing was the whole Batman movie, the Dark Knight movie. Rob Pelinka said that the Kobe, he went to go see the movie, and then they were going to go meet up with Heath Ledger after the movie to talk about it.
He was like fascinated with the focus that he put into that movie, so he wanted to pick his brain.
But the problem was that he actually passed away 6 months before the movie actually came out.
Yikes.
So a little bit of a wrong timing there.
Yeah, do your research, Rob, before you make up a lie. At least make it a researched lie. Jolo and Dibs are going to be coming up here with Rick Kamla, who is a host on NBA TV. He's coming up at 6:30. Anthony Slater will join them at 7 o'clock of The Athletic. He wrote a great preview piece, and he's going to have a little answer as to how to stop Kawhi Leonard, which seems to be the ultimate number one question. And then, of course, the legend and Hall of Famer Rick Barry. I'm curious to get his thoughts also on the Raptors, because I didn't have enough time to play this sound, but Doc Rivers is comparing Kawhi to Jordan. And, I mean, he says he's Jordan-like, at least. And I'm saying, you know, Jordan did it with style, with so much finesse. Kawhi doesn't do it all that much. He's more like, compared to Jordan's game, he's a little more sloppy, has a little less swag to it. But when you're looking at the production, it's hard to really argue with him, because Kawhi's just taking this team to the finals when they haven't been. So I will see his opinion on that.
Yeah, one more day to the finals.
One more day to the finals. Jolo and Dibs coming up. Rick Kamla from NBA TV coming up at 6:30. They're coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.